For news, here is one of the most listened to broadcasts in all radio, News Around the World with Mort Krim. The news in a moment.
I bet that's how your father got to be vice president.
Yep. A simple pill called Compose, and I'm a new man.
He can work relaxed, relax to sleep. With Compose, largest selling sedative for temporary relief of simple nervous tension, without a prescription. When you're under occasional stress, when you've got to relax, take Compose, just 98 cents.
Now, substituting for Mort Krim, here's Tom O'Brien.
Good morning from the ABC Radio Newsroom in New York. Plane crash in Seoul, South Korea. It was a South Korean Air Force transport, 11 aboard. The plane crashed into a crowded slum in Seoul, set fire to many homes, 50 or more South Koreans killed. In the Vietnam War, communist gunners are stepping up their attacks on U.S. warships. The latest from ABC's Bill Brannigan in Saigon.
For the third time in as many days, U.S. destroyers operating off the North Vietnamese coast have come under shore fire. Two destroyers, Turner Joy and Duncan, drew fire. Turner Joy was hit. One U.S. sailor was wounded. The ship is fully operational. In the air over the north, U.S. pilots flew 102 missions. One target was the Taiwan steel plant, the eighth time the complex has been bombed in a month. Other raids struck in the Panhandle, dropping on storage areas, bridges, and truck convoys. There were no U.S. planes reported missing. Bill Brannigan, ABC, Saigon.
South Vietnam is making another truce offer to North Vietnam. South Vietnam proposes a one-day truce on the 23rd of May to observe the birthday of Buddha. The Israelis and the Syrians are charging each other with aggression now in the aftermath of that air and ground battle yesterday. In the air battle, the Israelis apparently destroyed a major portion of Syria's air force. Vice President Humphrey is in Belgium this morning after a rough day in Paris. In Belgium, the vice president is expected to talk about the Atlantic Alliance, nuclear matters, and trade affairs. Up in Hartford, Connecticut last night, Governor George Romney of Michigan was supposed to make his first major policy statement on the Vietnam War, but Romney's speech turned out to be mostly an endorsement of President Johnson's handling of the war. ABC microphones in Hartford, where Governor Romney said,
"It's unthinkable that the United States withdraw from Vietnam. We must not oversimplify this conflict by talking only in terms of bombing or withdrawing. The failure to induce negotiations at this time should not result in massive military escalation. We should continue to seek meaningful negotiations."
As part of that move toward peace talks, Governor Romney proposed giving amnesty to the Viet Cong and giving the VC a place in any future Saigon government. In Washington, the White House praised Romney for his stand on the Vietnam War. Some Teamster walkouts around the country yesterday, and they almost killed the talks in Washington between the Teamsters and the truckers. Reports are that the progress is being made in the Teamster talks. Here in New York, no significant progress reported in the talks between the broadcast networks and AFTRA, and little optimism is felt. AFTRA, the networks, and federal mediators meet again at 10 o'clock this morning. Folks in Ohio got a jolt during the night. It was actually a superficial earthquake that shook parts of Ohio. As one woman said, "My house shook different than ever before." This is News Around the World.
Winston's out front because up front, only Winston has filter blend. Choice golden tobaccos specially selected for the best taste in filter cigarettes.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
Like your cigarette should.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Winston.
This is News Around the World. Back to Tom O'Brien after we pause for station identification. In a moment, we'll hear more direct reports from overseas and the United States as News Around the World continues.
A big bash for Paul Whiteman at New Hope, Pennsylvania last night. Pops Whiteman, now 77. In case you've forgotten, and who could, Paul Whiteman, the famous band leader of the 20s and the 30s. They were celebrating his 77th birthday at New Hope. Among other things, Whiteman recalled how he and his band introduced George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue back in 24. Still hard to tell just how many people died in the crash of that South Korean Air Force plane, and the outlook is glim. ABC's Ray Falk reports now from Tokyo.
Police fear that the death toll will rise in that military plane crash in Seoul. The South Korean two-motor transport plunged into a heavily inhabited slum district. A plane, failing to gain altitude soon after takeoff, hit the dome of a Christian church and then crashed in flames. Among the victims were many children. 13 high school students jumped from their second floor classrooms when the plane crashed 50 yards away. The alleys in the slum are so narrow, it was impossible for the fire trucks to get through. Ray Falk, ABC, Tokyo.
A report now on Vice President Humphrey's plans while he's in Belgium from ABC's Willy Saunders in Brussels.
A full schedule is awaiting Vice President Humphrey on his weekend visit to Brussels, capital of Belgium, but also headquarters of the European Common Market. The Vice President, after a lunch with King Baudouin, is to engage in talks with Belgian Foreign Minister Pierre Armel about the future of the Atlantic Alliance. The Vice President is also expected to ask for support of American policy in Southeast Asia and on nuclear non-proliferation. Tonight, he will exchange views with common market top officials about prospects for the Kennedy round of tariff negotiations. Willie Saunders, ABC, Brussels.
Some reports out of Europe this morning that the big demonstrations in Paris against Vice President Humphrey may have affected the president's plans. According to a report from Reuters, diplomatic observers in France say the demonstrations have cut down the chances that President Johnson will travel to Europe this year. U Thant, the Secretary General of the United Nations, is on his way to Ceylon right now. The government of Ceylon has made a proposal for ending the Vietnam War, and U Thant wants to talk about it. Before flying to Ceylon, the Secretary General met in Rome with Pope Paul. They talked about the war. After the talks, U Thant told newsmen,
"My assessment is it's going to be a long war. It's going to be a bloody war. And the prospects for peace are as distant today as they were last year."
After stopping in Ceylon, U Thant will visit a number of other Asian countries. While U Thant is still pessimistic about ending the Vietnamese War, progress is being made toward elections in Vietnam. The story from ABC's Bill Brannigan in Saigon.
Another hat is in the presidential ring in South Vietnam. I have learned from reliable sources that Tran Van Hung, former premier of South Vietnam, will run for the office. Hung, also a former Saigon mayor, came to national office in 1964 when General Nguyen Khan was forced to yield the reins of government. The president of South Vietnam at that time was Phan Kak Chu, who recently declared his intentions to run also for president. Tran Van Hung, the latest announced candidate, is drawing support from the heavily populated Mekong Delta and is being considered for support by some Catholic circles. National political lines are being rapidly drawn as the military men here continue to weigh the relative popular strength of Premier Nguyen Cao Ky and President Nguyen Van Thieu. Bill Brannigan, ABC, Saigon.
That's the story from Vietnam on News Around the World. In the past week, there have been more calls to bomb the airfields of North Vietnam. Secretary McNamara has indicated it's not necessary to bomb these fields. Others, like Senator John Tower of Texas, say that professional military men, men who put their necks on the line, say the airfields must be destroyed. This week in Saigon, one veteran pilot, Colonel Bob Scott of Des Moines, seemed to agree with McNamara and not Tower that the airfields and the MiG jets that use them are not much of a threat. Here's what Colonel Scott said about the MiGs.
"We don't worry too much about the MiG threat. It's a threat, and it's there. But more formidable than the MiG is the AAA and the radar-directed at AAA, and then the SA-2s, the SAMs. And I'd say the least effective, as far as we're concerned, is the MiG.
Colonel Scott went on to say he understands anti-aircraft fire thrown up by the North Vietnamese is the heaviest ever thrown at U.S. pilots in any war. Reaction today in Israel is a result of that dogfight yesterday between Israeli and Syrian planes. The story from ABC's Marlon Levin in Jerusalem.
Israeli Premier Levi Eshkol has called on the Syrian government to respect Israel's sovereignty and to keep the peace, even as he said, if for the moment it is an unsigned peace. The Israeli chief of staff said today that he did not believe yesterday's action over Galilee would, in his words, teach the Syrians a lesson. He said they are bad pupils. The chief of staff met the press with his staff officers. They were in a jubilant mood when told that the Syrians claimed Israel had lost five planes. The officers laughed spontaneously. The area is now quiet since Israeli tractors are not working on the Sabbath. The fighting could be renewed tomorrow when the tractors go out to the fields again. Marlon Levin, ABC, Jerusalem.
That special UN mission to Aden, it's due to fly to Geneva this morning. The mission left Aden yesterday. In Rome, the leader of that UN mission, Manuel Perez Guerrero of Venezuela, told ABC,
"We left Aden because we didn't find there the conditions that were necessary for the mission to perform its responsibility on the spot. Because we didn't find there the cooperation from the British authority that we expected to have on the spot there. And that was not possible under the conditions that were prevailing, especially because of the security arrangements that the British thought were necessary."
The British Foreign Secretary George Brown had asked Guerrero and other members of the UN Commission to Aden to come to London to talk things over, but the special mission is going to Geneva instead. Dr. Martin Luther King, he thinks the war in Vietnam is hurting the war on poverty here in the United States. Last night in Nashville, Tennessee, Dr. King told how he thinks the war on poverty can be fought. Dr. King said,
"I have come to see the need for guaranteed annual income. This, I believe, is the program that can really solve the problem of poverty. And the question is whether we have the will. I say that if our nation can spend $35 billion a year to fight an ill-considered war in Vietnam and $20 billion to put a man on the moon, we can spend billions of dollars to put God's children on their own 2 feet right here on earth."
Dr. King spoke at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee. Shooting broke out on Cyprus today. At last report, firing continued between Turkish Cypriots and Greeks. 10 Turks reported wounded, UN peace force troops trying to set up a ceasefire at last report. The skirmish on Cyprus broke out on a main highway, held up traffic. Among those held up, hundreds of tourists off the liner France. The Mississippi River has one of the highest crests ever, rolling down through Wisconsin and Minnesota this morning. Showers and thunderstorms in the Midwest this morning. Heavy rains in parts of Texas. High winds the vicinity of Dodge City, Kansas. And it's cold from the Midwest to New England this morning, and as far south as the Ohio River. Temperatures in the 20s and the 30s. Light snow on this spring morning in parts of New England. And that's the story on weather on News Around the World. Many people have felt that the recent fatal fire in the Apollo capsule will prevent the U.S. from reaching the moon by 1970. But astronaut Buzz Aldrin, the spacewalker in the Gemini 12 mission, thinks there's still a chance. In Houston yesterday, this prediction from Buzz Aldrin.
By 1970, we will have provided the capability to explore space out to 250,000 miles from the Earth and to conduct manned operations and experiments on flights lasting as long as 2 weeks. The Apollo spacecraft will have sustained a three-man crew for 2 weeks in a two-compartment maneuverable vehicle and will have landed two men on the moon and returned them with samples of the lunar surface.
And astronaut Aldrin looked to the day when orbiting satellites may control air and sea traffic. Russia's first man in space, Yuri Gagarin, says that big things are ahead in space for the Soviet Union. The world's first man in space says Russia will get to the moon first. That's News Around the World for this Saturday morning, the 8th of April. News writers this week for News Around the World, Ted Whitcomb, Ken Gorin, Bert Friedman, and Mike Valenti. This is Tom O'Brien reporting from the ABC Radio Newsroom in New York. This is the ABC Radio Network.